The blood of the capital L Lamb. The one named Lamb. The Lamb of God, Jesus Christ. The blood of the capital L Lamb. 30 times in the New Testament, he's called Lamb as if it's his name. The capital L Lamb of God. That is his name. That is who he is. That's our hope of salvation, that Jesus Christ is the Lamb of God, the acceptable sacrifice, the offering of his blood paid for heaven forever for each of us. Let's go to the Old Testament. Now, I want you to understand something about the Old Testament. Jesus said, search the scriptures. And when he said that in John, the book of John that's recorded, when he said, search the scriptures, what they had at that point was the Old Testament. And he said, search the scriptures, you think in them you have eternal life. I think the ones he was talking to there thought that the Old Testament held the secrets of what they had to do in order for them to have eternal life. Jesus said, if you think in that way, you're thinking wrong. That's not what it's all about. That's not what the Old Testament is saying. Search the scriptures, in them you think you have eternal life, but they are they which testify of me. The Old Testament, all those pages in all those Old Testament books, testifying to, pointing to, proclaiming the capital L Lamb, Jesus Christ. A few days ago, I was reading in Numbers. You know, sometimes if you choose to read through the scriptures, Leviticus and Numbers, forgive me, Lord, it's the Holy Spirit-inspired word, but sometimes they seem a little boring to me. I'm seeing some confessions out there and the way your heads are nodding. But, the reason they're boring, when we're reading about all those old sacrifices, we're not thinking about the right thing. We're not thinking about who that testifies of. Read those old scriptures, study those old scriptures, and look for Jesus, and the boring gets exciting. Numbers chapter 29, one of those so-called boring places. I was reading through this one the other day. Numbers 29:1, and in the seventh month, on the first day of the month, ye shall have an holy convocation. That is an assembly where they'll all meet together, a worship service. An holy convocation, you shall do no servile work. Don't feed the lambs. Don't go out and pick the corn. Don't clean house. A day off from work. The Bible, the Old Testament, proclaimed some of those through the years. Besides every Sabbath day, there were so-called holidays, if we could call it that, to use our term. This is one of those days. You don't go to work today. You assemble yourselves together in worship on this first day of the seventh month of each year. In the seventh month, on the first day of the month, ye shall have an holy convocation, and ye shall do no servile work. It is a day of blowing the trumpets. The day of the trumpets. They come together and blow the trumpets in recognition of several things, but we're not getting into that right now. Not going back to the history of the blowing of the trumpets and the trumpet. We're blowing the trumpet right now, I want you to understand. The gospel trumpet. So the trumpet represents a lot in God's word, but this was a special day in the Old Testament law of Moses where they were to come together on this one day a year and have the blowing of the trumpet celebration. A day off, a day of assembly. And ye shall offer a burnt offering for a sweet savor unto the Lord, one young bullock, one ram, and seven lambs of the first year without blemish. And one kid of the goats for a sin offering to make an atonement for you. So you come together this first day and you offer one ram, seven lambs, one young bullock, and one goat. Beside the burnt offering of the month and the daily burnt offering. Next verse. What's that talking about? Well, the burnt offering for the month. This is the first day of the seventh month. But on the new moon, that's the new month, the first day of every month all through the year, the first day of the month, let's go to Numbers 28:11. It says, beside the burnt offering of the month. Here's the burnt offering of the month that was regularly done every month. Numbers 28:11. And in the beginning of your months, every one of them, each month, the beginning of your month, ye shall offer 2 young bullocks and 1 ram and 7 lambs of the first year without spot, and 1 kid of the goats for a sin offering unto the Lord shall be offered beside the continual burnt offering. And that's what it said up here in this other verse, didn't it? In Numbers 29, beside the burnt offering of the month and the daily burnt offering. Well, what's the daily burnt offering? They're pouring out a lot of blood here. The daily burnt offering. Let's go find that one. Numbers 28:3. This is the offering made by fire, which ye shall offer unto the Lord, 2 lambs of the first year without spot, day by day, every day, for a continual burnt offering, that there would be continually smoke, a sweet savor to God coming up off that altar. Continually, you'll offer day by day these 2 lambs, the 1 lamb thou shalt offer in the morning, and the other lamb thou shalt offer at even, that is, at the evening. At sunrise, at sunset, 6 in the morning, 6 in the evening, offer a lamb every day. The first day of the month, the beginning of your months, you'll offer 2 young bullocks, 2 young bulls, 1 ram, 7 lambs, and 1 goat, 1 kid of the goats, a young goat. Now that's every day, and then every first day of the month, every month. And then on this 7th month, in addition to all that, besides that, remember how it said it? Beside the monthly offering and the daily continual offering, here's what you do on this special first day of the month, the 7th month. Well, that's when you come back and you offer this 1 bullock and 1 ram and 7 lambs and 1 kid of the goats. That was a busy day, wasn't it? The first day of the 7th month. Besides the routine every day, and besides the routine every month, you add on top of that these other animals, and you shed their blood, and sprinkle it before the altar, and burn them as a burnt offering for God. That's the first day of the 7th month. We continue to read. Now, besides the animal offerings, there were drink offerings, wine that you poured out, and there was offerings of flour that you'd pour out with each animal sacrificed. There was flour mingled with oil in a certain amount. A lot of details here. It's not our purpose to become Jewish lawyers at this point to understand the law in such detail or what a priest had to know, but just trying to give you an overview here of what all happens. In each one of those blood offerings, there was also wine, and there was also grain, and there was also oil mingled with the grain, and a certain amount for each one, really set in order meticulously in the law of Moses. So there we've got the first day of the 7th month. And there was a lot of sacrifice that first day. And then they get a few days off. That is, unless during those few days there comes a Sabbath. You know, they come every week. You've got a Sabbath every week. On the Sabbath, there's a special offering on the Sabbath, besides the daily offering. Numbers 28:9. And on the Sabbath day, 2 lambs of the first year without spot, beside the continual burnt offering. So on the Sabbath day, you do the 1 in the morning and 1 in the evening, the everyday one. Plus you do the Sabbath one. Plus if this first day of the month came on a Sabbath, that's just a few more added right there. You see, sometimes the first day of the month comes on one day and sometimes another day, and sometimes it would come on the Sabbath, so you'd have to add a couple more if it did that. We're fooling with a lot of numbers here this morning. Then we come to the 10th day of that same month, the 10th day of the 7th month. What we're focusing on this morning, to look ahead a little bit, is the first 22 days of the 7th month of every year for about 2,000 years. Now, I don't think they did this. They didn't follow the law like they should have, and they probably missed some years, and they missed 70 years being in Babylon, and I think they probably missed some sacrifices otherwise because they weren't faithful. But this is what God's law commanded, that we sacrifice like this every day. Not us, but they in that day, that they should do that. So we're talking about the 7th month. Now, the 7th month, the 10th day of the month, was a very special day, a very special day. It was the Day of Atonement, another holiday, if we'd call it that. Another day where you'd have a convocation and no servile work and those kind of things. So let's go from the first day, and maybe a Sabbath day in between there. There would have been at least one. And then the daily sacrifices, they kept going, but now we come to day 10 of that 7th month. And we drop down to verse 7, Numbers 29. And ye shall have on the 10th day of the 7th month and holy convocation. There's another assembly to worship. And holy convocation, and ye shall afflict your souls. This one, you don't eat all day. That's what, when it says that in the Old Testament, that is to fast. You'll afflict your souls. You won't eat all day long, a day of fasting. So afflict your souls, and ye shall do no work therein. You don't work all day. You don't go to work. You don't work at the house. You don't work on the farm. You don't eat all day. You assemble for the Day of Atonement. That's a very special day. Oh, I'm tempted to go back to the Old Testament, Leviticus chapter 16, and it's a long chapter, but that's a great day to talk about. Maybe we'll preach on that sometime for long. I've thought about that one a lot this week, too. The Day of Atonement, the 10th day of the 7th month. So it started like this. Well, you'd had your continual two offerings that day. But then you shall have on the 10th day of the 7th month an holy convocation. It shall afflict your souls, and ye shall do not any work therein. But ye shall offer a burnt offering unto the Lord for a sweet savour, one young bullock, one ram, and 7 lambs of the first year, 1 kid of the goats for a sin offering, beside the sin offering of atonement and the continual burnt offering. So you start your day off with the one lamb for the continual burnt offering in the morning and one in the evening, you remember? And then on this 10th day, you have an assembly. Nobody eats breakfast. Nobody's going to eat lunch. Nobody's going to eat supper this day. You're going without food. You're fasting in worship to the Lord this day. But you start the day off with these extra sacrifices that would have occurred on this 10th day of the month. And those extra ones are 1 young bullock, 1 ram, and 7 lambs, and 1 kid of the goats. That's the way you start your day. And that's before the actual Day of Atonement worship service begins. You start with this holy convocation, eating nothing and coming before the Lord, doing work all day long, and now we've made this regular sacrifice and these extra sacrifices on the 10th day, had extra sacrifices on the first day, extra sacrifices on a Sabbath day, extra sacrifices here on the 10th day of the 7th month, and then comes the Day of Atonement sacrifices. In that, going to Leviticus 16:3, thus shall Aaron come unto the holy place with a young bullock for a sin offering and a ram for a burnt offering. Verse 5, Leviticus 16, and he shall take of the congregation of the children of Israel 2 kids of the goats for a sin offering and 1 ram for a burnt offering. So on the Day of Atonement, besides the extra that had already happened that morning, the extra with the 1 ram and 1 bullock and 7 lambs and 1 kid of the goat. Here comes through the Day of Atonement and the sacrifices there. There'll be 1 bullock and 2 rams and 2 goats. Well, one of those goats, they'll cast lots upon those goats, and one of them will be the Lord's goat, and it will be sacrificed, and the other will be the scapegoat. And it'll be taken out in the wilderness after confessing all the sins of all the people upon the head of that goat, take it to the wilderness, and leave it out there in the wilderness with those sins. Beautiful pictures of Jesus Christ on the Day of Atonement. All these things represent Jesus Christ. The rams and the bullocks and the Lord's goat and the scapegoat. But we're not going to get into that. Don't have time. Beautiful descriptions of Jesus Christ in the Day of Atonement. But this 10th day of the 7th month is that day. So you've offered the extra sacrifices, the bullock and the 7 lambs and the ram and the kid of the goats, and then you've offered these sacrifices through the Day of Atonement. In those sacrifices, then comes the evening sacrifice, and you do it as usual. Besides all this, you do the daily sacrifice. So that's the first day of the month and the 10th day of the month in the 7th month. And then comes the real time of sacrifice in that month on the 15th day. Of that month, you begin to celebrate the Feast of Tabernacles. The Feast of Tabernacles, well, you'll go and live in tents like you had to in the wilderness. For perpetually, for their generations, they were to have this week-long Feast of Tabernacles where they'd go back, and each one of these days, there was a lot of bloodshed on each one of these days in the Week of Tabernacles, the Festival of Tabernacles, the Feast of Tabernacles. Let's look at this one. Hang with me. I know this kind of is a lot of numbers and a lot of the same thing over and over, but every one of them are pointing to Jesus. Every one of these sacrifices, all this blood, pointing to Him. So let's start on the 15th day of the seventh month. We've seen the first day and the 10th day. Now we go to day 15. Numbers 29:12. And on the 15th day of the seventh month, you shall have an holy convocation. There's another assembling together for worship. And you shall do no servile work. There's a lot of holidays in this month. You got the first day off, you get the 10th day off, and now you get the 15th day off. You'll do no servile work, and you shall keep a feast unto the Lord 7 days. On the 10th day you fasted, on the 15th day you have a feast. But here we go. And on this day, the 15th day, ye shall offer a burnt offering 13 young bullocks and 2 rams and 14 lambs of the first year, 1 kid of the goats for a sin offering beside the continual burnt offering, beside the 2 regular lambs. And if it happened to be a Sabbath day, besides those 2 lambs, you offered 13 bullocks, 2 rams, 14 lambs, and 1 kid. The next day, the 16th day, remember this is a week-long celebration. On the 16th day, the second day of the feast, 12 bullocks, 2 rams, 14 lambs, 1 kid, beside the continual burnt offering. That's in 29:17. Second day, you shall offer 12 young bullocks, 2 rams, 14 lambs of the first year without spot, 1 kid of the goats for a sin offering beside the continual burnt offering. The next day, the third day of the feast, this will be the 17th day of the month, the seventh month. You shall on the 17th day of the month, on the third day of the feast, 11 bullocks. We're dropping a bullock every day. We started with 13, 12, 11. 11 bullocks, 2 rams, 14 lambs of the first year without blemish, 1 goat for a sin offering, beside the continual burnt offering. On the next day, the 18th day, we drop a number on the bullocks, 10 bullocks, 2 rams, 14 lambs, 1 kid, beside the continual burnt offering. On the 19th day of the month, that'll be the 5th day of the feast, 9 bullocks, 2 rams, 14 lambs, 1 kid. On the next day, the 10th day of the feast, the 6th day of the feast, the 20th day of the month, 8 bullocks, 2 rams, 14 lambs, 1 kid, beside the continual burnt offering. On the 7th day of the feast, the 21st day of the month, 7 bullocks, 2 rams, 14 lambs, 1 kid. And on the 7th day, those 7 bullocks, those 2 rams, those 14 lambs, those 1 kid, beside the continual burnt offering. On the 8th day of the feast, this will be the 22nd day of the month, the 7th month, you offer 1 bullock, 1 ram. On the 8th day, you shall have a solemn assembly. You shall do no servile work therein. That's the 4th holiday this month where you don't do work on the 22nd day. The 1st day, the 10th day, the 15th day, the 22nd day is a day where you'll do no work therein. But you shall offer a burnt offering, a sacrifice made by fire, of a sweet savour unto the Lord, 1 bullock, 1 ram, 7 lambs, 1 goat for a sin offering, beside the continual burnt offering. Now there was 1 or 2 Sabbaths fell in there, depending on how the days of the week fell with the days of the month. So you offered a couple of extra there in those days. And this is a long list, friends. This is a lot of blood in 22 days. We read on in the 39th verse of Numbers 29. We've left off a lot about the wine that was offered and the flour mingled with oil and all those exactly the right amount in each one of these sacrifices. We come to the 39th verse. These things you shall do unto the Lord in your set feast. In your set feast, those set feasts of that seventh month, the blowing of the trumpets and the Day of Atonement and the Feast of the Tabernacles, besides the set feast, beside your vow and your freewill offerings and for your peace offerings, these things you shall do unto the Lord in your set feast, beside your vows, your freewill offerings, and your peace offerings. And Moses told the children of Israel according to all the Lord commanded Moses. Now what's that verse saying? Besides all these offerings that are commanded, there was always an opportunity in the old Jewish law with those people back in those days. If you're feeling especially in a worshipful mood, you can come voluntarily and offer a peace offering or a thanksgiving offering, they're sometimes called. That was one of the peace offerings. Or you can offer an offering for a vow. You know, like you know how on some of our holidays, like New Year's Day, we might make a New Year's resolution. That's a vow. Now, the Bible says don't make a vow if you're not going to keep it. But if these people had been in a special mood to serve God better, they might come with an offering, make a vow, God, I'm going to try to do better. So you make an offering for that. Anytime they came with worship, there was an offering involved. So if you decide to, besides all these regular ones, besides all these that are commanded, you still have the opportunity to make offerings that are free will offerings or peace offerings or offerings for vows or individual worship kind of offerings that you could come and make. We have no idea how many of those were made. Have you ever been to a good meeting, maybe a good weekend meeting? And you get to feeling pretty good, spiritually speaking, I mean. And you want to worship even after you get home. You reckon that could happen to these folks too? And they'd go to all this regular sacrifice and stuff, and they'd get home and they were rejoicing so in their worship service, these holy convocations. Even the day you didn't get anything to eat, that'd keep your mind on the Lord, wouldn't it? Keep your mind on your empty belly and think about your empty soul and think about, it is well with my soul, the Lord fills my soul. And so you just offer another offering. I don't know how much of that went on. But I bet on a good year there was a good bit of that. So this was a bloody 22 days of sacrificing to God Almighty. Those sacrifices that are commanded and those sacrifices that are voluntary. You know, the Old Testament worship was a pretty bloody thing. A whole lot of lambs for 2,000 years. If I could say it without maybe exaggerating too much, rivers of blood, that's an exaggeration. But there's a whole lot of blood been poured out in all those hundreds of years. God commanded that this blood be poured out. One time, you know, Moses went off and married a woman from another place when he was on the backside of the desert. I think maybe her name was Zipporah, I don't remember for sure. And he said this son they had needed to be circumcised, and they did. And you know what she said to him? You're a bloody husband to me. You're a bloody husband. Looking at the blood of the circumcision, and that was her comment. I guess that's the comment of anybody looking upon these Jewish rituals and these Jewish laws and all these commands by God to shed blood. The blood of the lambs. The blood of the Old Testament. Let's do a little math. Let's think about this and just what happened here. In the daily sacrifice of that month, or those 22 days of that month, the seventh month, the first 22 days, the daily sacrifices of lambs, two a day, two times 22 days, that's 44 lambs right there that just got sacrificed because it was another day, morning and evening. Besides that, there's Sabbath days that'll fall in those 22 days. Most years would have three Sabbath days in 22 days, but if the month came in on the Sabbath day, well, you'd end up with four that time because day 22 would be another Sabbath day. So every 22 days that this happened, every time this happened, every seventh month, there were at least six lambs sacrificed for the Sabbath day sacrifice, and perhaps eight on some years. So we've got the 44 continually every day. We've got the Sabbath days that would have fallen in there. Every new moon sacrifice, remember the monthly sacrifice? Well, that was seven lambs, two bullocks, one ram, and one goat. That's the first day of every month. But this seventh month was different to the other months, you remember. On the first day of this seventh month was the memorial of the trumpets. And so you did seven more lambs and one more bullock and one ram and one goat. And then comes the tenth day of the month, the Day of Atonement. And in that day there was one bullock and two rams and two goats, besides the ones that were offered extra that day. And those that were offered extra that day on the 10th day of the month was one bullock, one ram, seven lambs, and one kid of the goats. So we've got a whole lot of blood in the first 10 days. And then comes that week. You remember the week? Started with 14 bullocks, 13 bullocks, 12 bullocks, and 14 lambs every day. That week, the Feast of the Tabernacles, 105 lambs, 71 bullocks, 15 rams, and 8 goats. 105 lambs. Besides the continual daily offering and Sabbath offerings that week. 105 lambs, 71 bullocks, 15 rams, 8 goats. Total offerings. And I think I may have left one out here. Anyway, we've got at least 105 lambs in those 22 days. 75 bullocks, 19 rams, and 12 goats. Besides the free will offerings. There were bonus offerings to God. That's in 22 days. Every month. The seventh month, that was unusual. But every month, two lambs a day, times 30 days in a month, that's 60 lambs. Every month has at least four Sabbaths. Some months would have five. So we add an extra eight right there. Every month when it comes in, you offer seven lambs right there. So every month, even the regular months, you had 75 lambs offered besides the free will offering. And any other holidays that might come, like the day of Passover, where every family offered a lamb that day, every family. We're not even figuring that. That was a different month. That was the first month. It was a bloody worship. A lot of blood of a lot of lambs for a lot of years, for a lot of months, for a lot of weeks. About 2,000 years worth. Now then, what about all that blood? Let's go now to the New Testament, to Hebrews chapter 10, and let's see, first of all, how many sins were paid for by all those 2,000 years of blood. All those animals, all those lambs for all those years, what did that accomplish as far as anybody's eternal salvation? Now, it accomplished something. It was worship to God. And it accomplished something. It was pointing to Jesus Christ. And it was the right way to do it. Don't get me wrong there. But it's not doing what you might think it was doing. It wasn't paying for anybody's sins. And I go to Hebrews chapter 10 to show you that. This is not my religion. This is what the New Testament says about all that blood of the Old Testament. It wasn't worthless. But it didn't save anybody to heaven. Let's read. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 1. For the law, that's what I've been reading to you from, is the law. The law is presented in Exodus and Leviticus and Numbers and Deuteronomy. The law having a shadow of good things to come. I can look right here and I can see a shadow of my hand, but there's not much there, is it? It's just a shadow of it. It's not the real thing. There's really nothing there in a sense. There's a shadow of it, but there's really not anything solid in a shadow. There's something meaningful sometimes in a shadow. Sometimes you can see a shadow come around the corner before you see the person, and it might mean there's somebody coming right there. But that isn't the somebody, that's just their shadow. So we start out with the idea of this Old Testament stuff being a shadow. Nothing solid and real, in a sense. Coming from something solid and real, but it, in and of itself, it's a shadow. For the law having a shadow of good things to come, and not the very image of the things. What are the things that are to come? The Lamb of God that takes away the sin. The Son of God that gives salvation. You call His name Jesus, He shall save. Those things are coming. But everything in the Old Testament was a shadow pointing to those things. A shadow of the good things to come, and not the very image of the thing. When Jesus got here, He was the very image of God, it says in Hebrews chapter 1. These things, these shadows of the good things to come, not the very image of the things, can never, with those sacrifices which they offered year by year, continually make the comers thereunto perfect. It could never make them perfect. What's it take to get to heaven? Perfection. That only the Lamb of God can give you, the capital L Lamb. The lambs of the Old Testament never made anybody perfect. There was no perfecting in those lambs. They're just a shadow of that, a picture of it, a symbol of it, a representation of it. Could never make the comers thereunto perfect. That's the ones who come in worship, the ones who assemble in that holy convocation. Those that came those days, they didn't get perfect by coming. Verse 2, Hebrews 10. For then would they have ceased to be offered, because that the worshipers once purged, that is cleansed from their sins, should have had no more conscience of sins. You know what? If those Old Testament sacrifices had worked, and taken away the sins, and made the ones who came in worship perfect. If they were already perfect, why keep on shedding more blood and more animals? Why keep doing it if it worked the other time? We're getting ahead of ourselves a little bit here. You know why Jesus just came one time, the capital L Lamb? Did it one time? Because it worked. It made him perfect, and he'll never come back and do that again. Unlike this continual year by year, day by day, month by month, on and on, year after year, 2,000 years of bloodshed that never made anybody perfect. If it had, they'd have quit doing it. God would have said, enough. We've quote-unquote wasted enough sheep if it worked. The sheep are never wasted. They're pointing to Jesus Christ. Sometimes even that seems sad, doesn't it? A little lamb. A little lamb. I'll tell you what really seems sad. The capital L lamb hanging on a cross for me. But I'm getting ahead of myself again. Back to Hebrews chapter 10, verse 3. But in those sacrifices, there is a remembrance again made of sin every year. You know what the sacrifice on the cross did? It made your sins where even God doesn't remember them anymore. Removed as far as the east is from the west, never to be remembered again. You know what all these Old Testament sacrifices did? Every one of them reminded them again that it was brought to remembrance again that I'm still a sinner. And those sins still stand before a holy God and convict me and condemn me. And I'll come and sacrifice another day and another year and another month. And I'll bring my free will offerings and my peace offerings. But there's never peace made in those. It's just always pointing to the one who would make the peace. They continually brought these things that could never take away sins, that could never perfect. And all it ever did was keep reminding them they were sinners. You know what you can do when you look at the cross of Jesus Christ? You can remind yourself you're not a sinner anymore in the eyes of the holy God. Now, understand, you still commit sins, and so do I. We need to try to improve and do better that way. But we're talking about a walk down here and we're trying to do better that way. We're not talking about a living in heaven forever that Jesus accomplished. But these sacrifices, every time you made one, you just reminded yourself again, I'm killing this poor little lamb because I'm a sinner. Because my sins, this lamb is dying. Verse 4. Listen to this verse. This just about sums it up pretty well. Don't know how you could say it much plainer. For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and of goats should take away sin. That's Bible. That's God's word. That's a statement about what was not accomplished in all those years of all that lamb blood in the Old Testament. It's not possible that the blood of an animal can take away your sins, or the one that offered it, the priest that offered it, or the person that brought it. It's impossible that Old Testament blood could ever take away sins. You know what all that does? The book of Galatians chapter 3 tells me that the law is a schoolmaster. A schoolmaster teaches you something. That's your teacher in school. The law is your teacher. The law is a schoolmaster to teach you of your need for Jesus Christ. If all that blood of all those years, all that offering to God, that was a sweet savor to God because it was reminding him of Jesus that would do it right. But if all that couldn't take away sins and never took away a sin, you don't have anything to offer either, my friends, and I don't have anything to offer. But God had something to offer, and his name was Jesus Christ. God's own Son became the Lamb of God, capital L, Lamb. So we've taken these four verses in Hebrews chapter 10, the first four verses, and we've seen there that all that Old Testament blood didn't get anybody to heaven, didn't take away a single sin, never perfected anybody, never made a satisfactory offering to God for an eternal place in heaven. Now we come to verse 5, Hebrews chapter 10. Wherefore, considering the fact that all that lamb blood never got anything done as far as getting anybody to heaven, considering the fact that all that sacrifice never took away a single sin from anybody, wherefore, where do we go from there? Wherefore, when he cometh into the world, this is the Lamb with the capital L, Jesus Christ, when God's Son came into the world, he saith, here's what Jesus said. Here's what it said way back in the Old Testament about Jesus' coming. You know, it all points to him. This is taken from the Old Testament. But when Jesus gets here, this is what he says. He says, sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not. You wouldn't have that, God, eternal judge, my Father. You rejected that as sufficient. You have declared that none of that perfected anybody. You would not have that. Sacrifice and offering thou would not. The Old Testament offerings. But, a body hast thou prepared for me. You know why Jesus came to this world? To die for sins. To shed his blood. to save his people. You know what it takes to die? To shed blood? A body. God prepared Jesus a body. A real body with real flesh and real blood that could be poured out as an offering to God. God, you wouldn't have those Old Testament offerings. They were nothing to you as far as eternal salvation, so you prepared me a body. This is tremendous. It's kind of simple enough that a grade school kid can understand it and praise God for it. And it's so complex that nobody understands it. I don't care how smart you are. God Almighty coming in the form of a body. Not in the form of a body, in a body. It was really God. Not a form of God, it's really God. Not a shadow of something, and the real thing came is Jesus Christ. This is tremendous. A body you prepared for me because you wouldn't have those other ones. They didn't get it done. They didn't accomplish anything. In burnt offerings and sacrificings, in burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin, thou hast had no pleasure. Could I say maybe eternal pleasure, eternal satisfaction? You know what it takes for God to be eternally pleased? It says in Isaiah 53, it pleased the Lord to bruise him, Jesus Christ. There was no pleasure to be found as far as eternal forgiveness in all that blood of all those lambs for all those years. So a body he prepared for Jesus. And when God looked upon the suffering of Jesus' soul, God was pleased. He was satisfied. It pleased the Lord to bruise Jesus. It says that according as he hath chosen us in him from before the foundation of the world, having predestinated us into the adoption of children of Jesus Christ to himself, according to his good pleasure, according to his pleasing, according to what would please him, he made a body for Jesus Christ that would be pleasing to him, that would be acceptable to him, that would be sufficient to take away the sins. All the blood of the Old Testament never took away any sins. So God sends his Son in a body. In a body. Above, when he said, sacrifice and offering and burnt offering for sin thou wouldest not. You wouldn't have that. That didn't get it done. Neither hadst pleasure therein, which are offered by the law. Then said he, lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first, that he might establish the second. He takes away the old covenant, Old Testament, that he might establish the new covenant, New Testament, in the blood of Jesus Christ. That blood of the New Testament, shed for many for the remission of sins. That blood that God will look upon, the new covenant talks about here in this Hebrews chapter 10 and also in Hebrews chapter 8. That God looks upon that blood and there is no remembrance of sin anymore. Your sins and your iniquities will I remember no more. Those lambs of the Old Testament, the sins were still remembered. Even the people remembered they were still sinners and they came back the next year. You know, it's going to be very inappropriate for you to offer anything right now. Don't leave this service thinking, I think I'll give a free will offering and go out to your farm and get a lamb and cut his throat today. That's insulting to Jesus Christ. That's no longer called for and would truly no longer be pleasing to God. But even those Old Testament sacrifices that were given by the commandment of God, that didn't please him eternally speaking. A body hast thou prepared for me. He take away the first that he may establish the second, the new covenant. By the which will, by God's will, we are sanctified, made holy, through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. Made holy, sanctified, by the offering of the body of Jesus Christ, the shedding of his blood, once for all. That all right there is not all people. It's not the context. I'm not going to argue that point right now. But just understand with me as we read on here that once for all is once for all times. That's what we're talking about, all the many times that the sacrifices happened in the Old Testament. Here's a one-time offering, once for all time. That's the point of this, that he would come in the last days, and by one offering, he would pay for the sins forever of all the people from Old Testament and New Testament days. The Old Testament folks didn't get to heaven by the blood of the lambs, and you getting to heaven by the blood of the capital L lamb. We all get to heaven by the same blood of the capital L lamb. So once for all times, and every priest standeth daily, daily ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices. Remember that daily sacrifice, once in the morning, once in the evening? Besides the extra ones on the new moon, and on the Sabbath day, and on the holidays, and on the feast week, and all those sacrifices, they continually, all the time, time and time, again and over, the every priest standeth daily offering and ministering oftentimes, very often they did this over and over, on and on. What did Jesus do? Once for all time. As opposed to them doing it all the time, he did it once for all times. As opposed to them doing it oftentimes, he did it one time. Every priest standeth daily ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. There it is again. All those lambs, the same old lamb. Those Old Testament lambs, but we got a different lamb now. We got the capital L lamb, the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ. This man, all those Old Testament priests, standeth oftentimes offering the same thing over and over, but this man, Jesus Christ, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, one time, one sacrifice for all the sins of all the people that he carried with him to that cross forever. Whew. You don't need to offer any more lambs. One time, one man, one offering, God is satisfied. This man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God. You know what was not in the Old Testament tabernacle, the tent of the wilderness that they worshipped in for a few hundred years? Nor was there one in the temple that Solomon built. Nor was there one in the temple that one was torn down in the temple that Nehemiah would build. You know what there wasn't any? There was furnishings in there. There was a lamp and there was a table and there was the mercy seat and there was the Ark of the Covenant and there were things in there. There was the incense offering altar there, but there wasn't a seat in there. There wasn't a seat in the Old Testament holy place. You know why there wasn't a seat? Because the job was never done and the priest could never sit down. He had to keep coming back over and over and over, bringing the blood before God. What happened to Jesus when he offered one sacrifice, one offering, for all the sins of all the people that he came to save forever? What's it say he did? He went to the right hand of God and he sat down. Why did he sit down? Because on the cross he said, "It is finished." The work is over. The salvation's accomplished. He sits on the right hand of God, waiting until God gives the command, and he will get up and he'll come down and shout, and his enemies will become his footstool, and his people will be taken home to glory forever. But he's sitting, because the high priest Jesus Christ has finished being high priest. He's offered the offering. The blood has been offered to God, and God is satisfied, and the job is through. Back to our text. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God, from henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. For by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified, those that were set apart to holiness, those that he made holy with that blood, those that he washed their sins from them with the blood of the capital L Lamb, and those sins are removed forever, never to be remembered again. He hath perfected forever. You know, all that blood of the Old Testament never perfected a single soul. And this one offering of this one man, one time forever, has perfected countless souls from every nation, kindred, tribe, and tongue under heaven throughout history. The blood of the capital L Lamb. Hebrews 9:14, not with the blood of bulls and goats. Remember all those bullocks? 14, 13, 12, 11, 10, 9. Remember all those lambs? 14 a day besides that, just that one week. Not with the blood of bulls and goats. Remember that kid of the goats for a sin offering that never took away sin? It just pointed the one who would, a shadow of him. Not with the blood of bulls and goats, but with his own blood. He entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. That's Hebrews 9 and 14. We've just read Hebrews 10 and 14. He hath perfected forever them that are made holy, set apart to holiness. That blood's good blood. That blood finished the job. That blood satisfied God. That blood saved you from your sins. That blood washed you white as snow. What about this blood? Let's look at some blood verses. 1 Peter 1:18, for as much as you know you were not redeemed with corruptible things. It goes on there and says silver and gold. But I want to tell you, a lamb is a corruptible thing, and a bullock is a corruptible thing, and a body in this world is going to corrupt. But I want to tell you, on that last day, he going to make the corruptible incorruptible and the mortal immortal, and that's you and me. So anything corruptible couldn't have done it. But he saw no corruption. It says that in Psalm 16 that Jesus saw no corruption. He was in that grave, but he came up before there was corruption, and he's seated on the right hand of God, not with corruptible, not with corruptible. For as much as you know, you're not redeemed with corruptible things, but with the precious blood of Jesus Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Perfect lamb, perfected forever, all that God gave to him. In whom we have redemption through his blood, Ephesians 1 and 5. Acts 20:28, the church of God, God's elect holy people through all eternity, the church of God which he hath purchased with his own blood. To redeem is to pay a price. What was the price? Not corruptible thing, not blood of bulls and goats, with his own blood. With Jesus' own blood, the blood of the capital L Lamb. Revelation 1 and 5, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. Revelation 5 and 9. Much more than being now justified, Romans 5 and 9, much more than being now justified by his blood, declared to be righteous, holy, innocent in God's courtroom by the blood of Jesus Christ, you shall be saved. He got it done. God looked upon the suffering of his soul, and God was satisfied. God prepared him a body and blood in that body that could be offered to God. Jesus, the high priest, took his own blood to the Holy of Holies in heaven itself, and he offered that blood to God Almighty, the eternal judge, and God looked upon that blood and accepted that offering, and that mercy seat of heaven is where your salvation comes from, because Jesus took his own blood, the blood of the capital L Lamb. Let's read Revelation chapter 5, the first 9 verses in closing. This is a picture that John describes of what he saw in heaven. This is what waits for us, my friends. This is the glory of eternity, and it's the capital L Lamb that this is talking about. 30 times he's called that. John the Baptist twice called him the Lamb of God, capital L. And then John, in the book of Revelation, calls him that 28 times, if I counted correctly. Let's go to this 5th chapter and find one of those times. Revelation 5:1. And I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within and on the backside, sealed with 7 seals. Evidently, this is a very important book to be opened. I'm going to think that it's probably the Lamb's Book of Life in which are written God's children. But the eternal judge, God Almighty, sitting on the throne holding that book, and nobody's worthy to open that book. It's sealed with 7 seals. Is this serious? It was to John. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof? Who can take this book? You know, in Revelation, toward the end of the book of Revelation, it talks about how some are judged from the books and some are judged from the book. If you're not in this book, then you're in the books, and your sins are recorded in those books. Who can take this book, the Lamb's Book of Life, and open it and find who's in it? Well, the strong angel proclaimed with a loud voice, who can do that? Who's worthy to open the book, to loose the seals thereof? No man in heaven nor in earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. Don't even look at this book, says God Almighty, much less try to take it and open it. And I wept much. If that book doesn't get opened, there's an eternity of weeping for all of us. John, some way understanding the importance of this book being opened, and he begins to weep when there was no man found anywhere that could open that book. John said, I wept much because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look thereon. And one of the elders saith unto me, weep not, weep not. There is no reason to cry. Behold, the Lion, capital L, Lion of the tribe of Judah. That's Jesus Christ, the Lion. Behold, look at the Lion. What would you be expecting if somebody told you, look, there's a Lion, the Lion? I bet you didn't see what you're thinking you're going to see. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof. There's a Lion that can open this book. You're expecting the king of beasts, a fierce creature, a mighty Lion. That's who he said was going to open it. And behold, I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne, and of the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders, stood a Lamb, capital L, Lamb. Look, behold, there's a Lion, and he can open it. And John did look, and what he saw when he looked was a Lamb. A Lamb. From the fiercest of creatures to the gentlest. A Lamb. He's a mighty Lamb. He's a capital L Lamb. He's got no blood, more blood to pour out here. He's a glorious Lamb, but he's still the Lamb. And that's what we'll worship him for all eternity, is that he's the capital L Lamb. And the capital L Lion, he has that kind of strength, but he portrays himself to those that look upon him, even in heaven. I beheld, said John, the man. I beheld and I saw a Lamb, capital L. Isn't that awesome? Don't take that as him being weak. Take that as him being gentle, compassionate, merciful, a sacrifice, the eternal sacrifice. Always, always we'll look upon him and see the capital L Lamb. That is his eternal portrayal of himself. Not as the power of a Lion, but as the offering of a Lamb. I beheld and looked upon him, and I saw a Lamb as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, or seven spirits of God sent forth into all the earth. Now he's a little different kind of looking lamb, isn't he? He's a lamb, but he's a mighty powerful lamb. You don't think a lamb's having seven mighty horns? I don't know what all that represents. I don't know if when we see him, we'll really be seeing a lamb, or if we'll be seeing a man. And I don't know if he'll be a lamb with horns, or a shepherd holding lambs in his bosom, as he's described in different places. Some of this, I suppose, is picturesque language. But it's mighty beautiful. Though he's a lamb, he's powerful. He came, this lamb, and he took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and the 24 elders fell down before the lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of saints. The prayers of the saints in that holy place. And they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book, and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain, and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood. The blood of the Lamb. The blood of the capital L Lamb, not all those lambs of the Old Testament. Hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. Behold, the capital L Lamb. Behold, the blood of the capital L Lamb. In that is perfection. In that is the removal of sins. In that is the satisfaction and pleasing of God. In that blood of the capital L Lamb is your salvation. You call him Jesus, he came to save. It is finished, is what he declared. God looked upon the suffering of his soul, and God accepted the offering of his blood. And God is satisfied, and you are justified how? By the blood of the capital L Lamb. Praise Jesus. God bless you. Let's sing a song and shake hands with one another. Oh, don't shake hands. I'm sorry. Put your hands in your pockets. I've said that so many years. Maybe someday we can get back to shaking hands again without fear of